It should be obvious that we cannot solve a crisis with the same methods that got us into it in the first place.
This is a last chance saloon. Because if we don't really take the decisions that are vital now, it's going to be almost impossible to catch up.
We will end the moratorium on extracting our huge reserves of shale, which could get gas flowing as soon as 6 months. We'll get away.
If unprecedented changes are not made and made soon, there will be irreversible damage to the planet.
Zero carbon.
East Hall.
Hello and welcome to Zero Carbonista Series 4 Fool's Gold. I'm Ian Collins and this is the UK's number one environment-based podcast. If it's green, it's in. And as we record this episode, the Chancellor has just given his spring budget. He did mention the environment, but did he mention it in the right place? He spoke for over an hour, by the way. Let's speak to our man currently chewing off his own elbows. He is the green entrepreneur environmentalist, Dale Vince. Dale, hello.
Yeah, Ian, how you doing? What a day, right? The budget's here and E stands for everything except the environment.
I couldn't believe that. I thought that was going to be a gag.
Sorry, a gag.
I thought he had a when he said I've got the economy, I've got what were the other two or three?
Enterprise.
Yeah.
Oh, and the weirdest one, the end one was everywhere. Is he like stealing the branding of EE, everything everywhere? His last E in the list was everywhere.
I reckon someone said to him, don't put environments in there because that's what Labour have done. Because, you know, they did the five pledges and Keir Starmer did his pledges. And that was about having the greenest economy and stuff. And the Tories haven't touched it. And maybe they kind of like it that way because of those old tits on the back benches and the, you know, the old councillors who thought it was a load of old bullshit, this stuff.
But what does everywhere mean?
It means everywhere, Dale. Jeremy Hunt is everywhere. He's in your bed. He's in your wardrobe. He's in your mind.
But how is it relevant to the economy or the budget? I mean, come on.
They just, somebody, mean? I mean, you can only imagine the kind of sort of thick of it like meeting when they said, we need something else for E. And like half of them.
And it can't be the environment, right? It can't be the environment.
Yeah, because I think a lot of those sort of young kind of spads would have gone, what, environment? They go, no, you can't mention the environment. Don't do that. So what do we go for? Elephant? No, that sounds shit. Well, what about we try for Europe? Definitely not Europe. No, we can't do that. Environment? No, definitely not. Everywhere. We'll go for everywhere. What does
should've
it mean? Jack shit.
Should have been everything but, shouldn't it?
Everything.
He should have been everything but.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He did talk about nuclear power. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing him here, he said, this is the environmental option.
You've got to love them.
As soon as he said it, like, remember when in Tom and Jerry cartoons when the cat used to have kind of a thought bubble with a fish in it or something because he was thinking of food. And I had a thought bubble. It had just had your face in it, Dale, when Jeremy Hunt mentioned this. He said, the nuclear option is the environmental option. Tell me why, in a sentence, he's talking balderdash.
Well, look, nuclear power stations take 10 years to plan and 10 years to build and another 10 years to break even on a carbon basis. So they aren't going to do anything anytime soon and we haven't got that much time. And it's the most expensive form of electricity that we can make. And we are in the middle of a cost of living crisis. We're just coming out of an energy crisis.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have uranium in our country either. So we're still going to have to import this stuff and rely on international markets for it. And then again, we just don't know how to deal with the nuclear waste. You know, it's a ticking time bomb. It's costing us about $100 billion so far just to contain the waste we've already created. I mean, there isn't anything right about the nuclear industry. Not nothing.
But it's everywhere.
Maybe that's what they want. Maybe that's what everywhere means, nuclear power everywhere. Because actually they're pumping money into a competition to design mini nukes so that we can have a proliferation of mini nukes around the country.
Is that right?
So absolutely. And Rolls-Royce is saying, well, we can make this ship because we make mini nukes for submarines, right? Little nuclear engines. And why don't we just build loads of those? I mean, it's the most stupid thing. They don't give any costs, but we know that economies of scale tell you that the bigger you make something, the more economic it is. And then the really big nuclear reactors in Britain today are stupidly expensive. Yeah. And Rolls-Royce are going to make a lot of small ones, and they will be stupidly expensive and some.
Of course they will.
They will. They have to be, because that's how it works. You know, it's a little bit like, I don't know, a little bit staggering, right? To have them continue down these stupid paths that they go down.
I think it just played to a gallery, didn't it? I think the other thing I thought in the other air bubble above my head was, you know, the group that as soon as you say fracking, because they like the word fracking because it sounds Wellard, as we've established on many previous episodes, frack the fuck out of the place. They love that. It's like proper, it's got all the onomatopoeic kind of thing going on. Fracking, frack off. They love that shit. So there's that. But then, of course, there's not going to be any fracking, but the government has to kind of pretend to the frackers that there might be, but there won't be. So putting the nuclear thing in there kind of is like not quite as – it's not up there with fracking, but it might appease that group as well.
Well, I think the coal mine in Cumbria is a great example of something they don't expect to get built. And it's a bit of like, you know, red meat for one side of the party and a bit of bait for the other side of the party and lefty-leaning people everywhere, or sensible people everywhere, that know we have to give up fossil fuels, not open new coal mines, but they don't expect it to be built. This nuclear stuff, I think it's different. I think they genuinely hope that Rolls-Royce are right and they can make a bunch of cheap mini nukes and spread them around the country and achieve, a small step towards being net zero. But
the nuclear industry is, and they would say this, wouldn't they, says yes. The UK should become a world leader in nuclear-derived net zero fuels.
I mean, how does that make any sense? We don't have any uranium. What are we? We're going to have to bring that from somewhere else. So how are we going to be a world leader in those fuels? We got to buy them in. But look, it's exasperating. You know, it's like the government aren't listening. Onshore wind and solar are so cheap, they need no government money. The government have got to put, I don't know how many millions, just into a competition for somebody to come up with the design that will then tell them that we all know, which would be stupidly expensive electricity in 10 years' time, which is too late.
Absolutely. There was another point on the energy bills. The energy bill help will continue until the end of June, and they were thinking of this disappearing altogether. So where do you place that announcement, Dale?
Well, they had announced that they were going to cut the support by 500 quid, dumping an extra 500 quid on households up and down the country. They announced that about a month ago. And I think it's a good thing that they haven't done that, because for a lot of people, 500 quid per year, that is an awful lot of money. In the gap between now and the end of June, that's worth about 160 quid, which is still a lot of money to a lot of families. But they've also dropped the 400 quid a year. It's complicated, this energy world. 400 quid a year they announced last summer that's paid monthly, about 60 quid a month off everybody's energy bills. That ends now. And so although we're avoiding the £500 rise, we're still getting a £60 a month rise, and basically, they're going to net off, right? Because the 60 quid a month for 3 months is about the same as the 160 quid between now and June. That's a lot of words. I don't know where it really leaves us.
I mean, the wider question I think people want to hear is, when are just the bills going to go down? I mean, that would be really nice to know that. I mean, this extra help, to coin the phrase, every little does help. But it would just be nice if people weren't paying £500 a month to turn their lights on.
Yeah, and that is the really important question. So energy bills have come down. The Ofgem price cap has dropped £1,000 from the 1st of April. So from Jan to April, it's gone from, 4.3 to £3,300. That's great news. The government cap is underneath that, so nobody actually pays the Ofgem price cap anymore. They pay up to the government one, which is £2,500. Good stuff. What we can see is in the coming summer, energy bills are going to drop again. It'll be July, the next revision. They drop again, and then they drop again in October ahead of the winter. They will still be twice as high as they were pre this crisis, but that's better than four times as high.
Yeah, I guess so.
But and this is the exasperating bit. To properly deal with this, we've got to build a whole load of renewable energy from our abundant sources of it, the wind, the sun, the sea, so that we're independent for energy. It's green energy, not fossil fuel energy. And then we can have permanently low energy bills. And for the kind of money that was spent in this crisis subsidizing energy bills, we could have built the infrastructure. We could build the infrastructure to give us permanently all of the electricity we need from our own indigenous renewable sources. It's forever energy once we build it.
And that would be everywhere.
That would be everywhere.
He could legitimately employ his E word at that point and go, look, it's everywhere. It's like what the wind, you know, the sun and shit like that, Jeremy. Yeah. It's everywhere.
And it's forever energy, where fossil fuels are single-use sources of energy. You know, we keep buying the stuff and burning the stuff and subsidizing bills. It's economics of the madhouse, what we're doing right now. But you're right. The key question is, when are bills coming down? The answer is, when somebody gets a hold of this and does something proper about it, reform the energy market, build like crazy our own sources of renewable energy. Within 10 years, we could be 100% powered by green energy, and energy bills would never be a concern ever again.
Can I just remind people they should be contacting you on social media, by the way, Dale, because a lot of the debates we have here, we have on social media, and whether it's Twitter, twitter.com/DaleVince, whether it's Facebook, facebook.com/DaleVince, and everywhere else, Insta, LinkedIn, you name it, it's all there and Googleable. Because you do tweet and communicate quite a lot in these areas as well. It's not just the podcast every week, it's all those other areas too.
Yes, and we're sharing stuff on all those platforms, you know, we're putting stuff out every day, trying to inform people, you know, kind of raise the debate about this whole bunch of things that the government aren't doing and the things that need to be done and you know, just stuff that's happening in the world.
Yeah, you are everywhere in terms of social media, which is good. Here's a question that came in from Gregor, who says, Dale and Ian, I've got two questions. I hope that's okay. It's not very democratic, is it?
That's two, okay.
Two questions. Did that pass security?
A twofer, right? We're giving a twofer.
It is indeed. Dale, have you ever thought about moving into... I thought you just said, have you ever thought about moving? I thought that's an interesting, fairly domestic question. Have you thought about moving into micro hydro schemes? Surely there's loads of rivers, streams and outflows that could create energy. That's the first question.
This is a great example of one of those things that is completely not what it appears. People often say that we've got loads of rivers, there's loads of opportunity. And the fact is, there isn't, and we don't have. You know, there are a few rivers relative to the land mass of Britain, right? Yeah. The number of hydro opportunities are tiny, and the amount of power that you can harness is tiny. And it's just one of them things that it seems obvious, why don't we harness our rivers? But, you know, most of it's been done where it can be done, where it's economic, and whatever's left is honestly too small to worry about. It's, you know, if you've got a stream or river in your back garden and you want to stick something in it, that's a great thing. But from a national point of view for the country, nah.
So it looks as if on the outside, to the untrained eye, it looks like there's shitloads of possibilities in that area, but actually all is not what it seems.
It's shit all.
Shit all. Here's the second part of Gregor's question. What will you do with the waste heat and CO2s from your green gas plants? Can you set up a salad veg glasshouse or a vertical farm? Those tomatoes will be worth more than Sky Diamonds in the future, the way things are going.
I think they were last week, weren't they? Tomatoes, they were special. Look, there is no waste heat from our green gas mills. There is CO2. And at the moment, we're looking at a plan to feed that back into the digester to make more methane. But I think there'll always be a little bit of CO2 that's vented. I don't know. And feeding it into greenhouses is a great idea, actually. Gregor, thanks for that. But right now we're trying to turbocharge the digester by taking the exhaust gas, which is CO2, and putting it back in and turning it into methane.
Yeah. Here's a story, Dale. Big polluters set out a £30 billion plan to cut emissions. Very nice people.
It's decent of them, isn't it, right?
It's very good of them. Well, they've been much maligned, these people.
These big polluters, yeah. I mean, the whole name is pejorative, isn't it? You're a big polluter.
Just a bit.
Actually, it's in Wales. 40 of Wales' biggest polluters have come together and said they're going to cut CO2 emissions by 40%, which is great, by 2040, which is not so great, right? They need to do it a bit faster than that, really by 2030, I would say.
Yep. But
they're called the South Wales Industrial Cluster, and they say it'll safeguard 100,000 jobs. Not really quite sure how. Yeah, what can you say?
They're nice people. What? I don't understand the cynicism, Dale. They're like cutting the emissions.
I just think it's a lovely idea, but they need to be more ambitious than 40%, and they need to do it faster than by 2040. So I don't mean to be ungrateful, but that's just the reality.
That is the reality. I hear the book bugle. What about that? It just suddenly crept up on us like that.
It does that.
We were so enamoured by the generosity and the benevolence of the big polluters that we both of us failed to hear the book bugle going off like Billy. And there's a couple of good points on the book bugle. I mean, tell us a little bit, if you can, about the revised book, the paperback, Dale.
Oh, yeah, cool. Well, look, it's got a foreword by John Robb. It's a good piece of writing. And it's got a couple of chapters tacked on the end that really updates everything from when the book came out, which was in 2020, first year of the pandemic. Obviously, it was a couple of years and a whole shit show that's gone on in between then, you know, not least in the Tory government, but also in the world of, you know, the energy crisis. I think there's a crisis of capitalism. I'm spelling that out in the book as well. And an urgent need for tax reform and stuff like that. So it just brings the book bang up to date. And that's it.
There it is. We should say that you can get the book from the Forest Green Rovers shop, fgr.co.uk/shop. We should also say that there is a chance to win a Sky Diamond here as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. Running a competition. I think we're giving away 5 or 10. I'm not really sure. You buy a book, you get the chance to win one. 5, is it?
Thank you. Don't say 10, otherwise your handlers will just lose their shizzle.
That's right. We've got loads of them. Don't matter. And the other thing is, by way of an update, we're selling thousands of these books. I mean, you know, say it quietly, but I think it might make the bestseller list.
That, it's doing incredibly well, isn't it? And suddenly, you know, the revised version, the new chapters, the paperback version, it's just, I mean, really has just kind of, I know this, all these are cliches, flown off the shelves and all the rest of it, selling out fast, but it happens to be true.
Yeah, it's true. And the reviews are incredible. I mean, just incredible. If I was writing a review myself to blow my own bugle, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Right? But the reviews are stunning.
Basically, if you want to win a Sky Diamond as well, once you've bought a paperback version of the book, you then email manifesto@ecotricity.co.uk with your name, address, proof of purchase, proof you're over 18, confirm an email and all the rest of it. And 5 winners will be drawn at random by yourself, Dale, announced on Instagram on 28th of March. So get the book and then make sure you send your details, which is very simple, name, address, proof of purchase, over 18, confirm an email, and you could be sitting on a beautiful Sky Diamond.
Well, I wouldn't recommend sitting on it, but I hear you.
Very bad comparison.
You're like the pro on this show. You've got all these details. I don't have a clue, actually. I'm just like, yeah, there's a competition. It's either 5 or 10. I don't know.
I got a bag of diamonds, and here's some to give away. I got 5, not 1, but not 2, but 5 of these f***ers, and you can win them from the book. And it's that simple.
It's easy, isn't it? It's just that easy. And then actually it's not. There's all them details. And by the way, we're not trying to make it difficult. There's lots of rules around competitions, you know, and so we've had to comply with those, which makes it sound more tricky than we're just going to give away 5 diamonds to the lucky winners.
Yeah. Make sure you've read the T's and C's as well, is one of the main points as well within this.
Well, there's nothing in there to be afraid of, by the way.
No, absolutely, yes. Nothing scary. Nothing scary.
Nothing sinister.
Now, here's another question from Headley, who says, Dale, 2 questions. Another 2 questions. What's going on here?
It's the day for twofers, isn't it?
What is it? Why is literally no one else talking about green gas if it really is the game changer you describe it?
Yeah, good question. You know, this happens, right? This happened to me a lot in my life. We start something and, you know, everybody's like, bah, you know, it would have been done before if it was either that easy or that important or something like that. And then next thing you know, everybody's doing it.
Well, speaking of everybody's doing it, his second question is, why have you both started swearing so often?
Oh, well, that's fair, right? Because I think we have done that. We have to put our hands up to that. It's like heat of the moment stuff, Headley. Do you know what I mean? We get into this exasperating news. That's what the E really stands for in today's budget by Jeremy Hunt. Oh, I struggle every time I say that word. I nearly missed it. You know, exasperation is the real E coming
every
out of the budget. But look, it is exasperating, and sometimes we swear. It feels like kind of like fun. It lets off a bit of steam, but hopefully it's okay with you guys out there.
Yeah, I mean, we can bleep it with cuckoos and things.
Well, we're not that bad. We're not like...
Would you like to hear what a swear word sounds when replaced by a cuckoo?
Well, all right, then I'll say his name in the rude version, and then you can cuckoo it out. Jeremy, right?
See, it's so much funnier with the cuckoo. I like it. We've got the cuckoo-o-meter here for these very events. Next question from Ernie on Twitter, who says, Dale, any idea what proportion of tax is spent on net zero? I don't know, but know it needs to be more.
Yeah, that's my instinct as well. I mean, I think it's... call, actually. Oh, sorry, Headley. That's another swear word. But you can cuckoo that
another
up, maybe.
Cuckoo. I like that.
But look, it's next to nothing. It's nowhere near enough. And it really should be. You know, we spend more money subsidizing North Sea oil than we get in tax from the North Sea. We have all those crazy kinds of things going on. And the stuff we need to spend money on, we're just not spending money on. There is nothing in the budget today. Nothing in the budget. There's $20 billion for carbon capture and storage, which is a unicorn, mythical technology. It's not coming. It's not going to help us. It's not the answer. But we'll spend $20 billion on it. I mean, you know, this is the budget of the stupid today. And it's exasperating. And it makes me swear sometimes. But no, not enough. Not enough tax law. And by the way, you've got another question. Come on. Everybody has two today.
Can you just say it again? Jeremy?
Jeremy. In it.
Are we overworking the cuckoo? That's what I want to know.
We might be.
The poor thing.
And then Grant Chaps, and it rhymes with crap.
And Alex on Facebook says, final question, by the time you get your eco park, do you reckon there will be standing areas in the FGR stadium?
Yes, that's our plan. That was too short, was it?
That's all right. There's nothing wrong with a succinct answer, Dale. There's no point in wasting words.
No, true.
That would be a catastrophe.
That's a good word.
It doesn't begin with E, though, does it?
No.
There we go. So, so definitely standing room at the new stadium.
Yes, absolutely. That's the plan.
Fantastic. Cracking stuff, Dale. The book is out. Follow the links. Go to the websites. Make sure you follow Dale on social media in all the usual places, Twitter, Facebook, Insta, and more. And we'll speak in a week, Dale.
Yes, I'm just off to donate to the swear box.
I think, you're going to need a couple of those swear boxes. It's full, this one.
Right, see you next week.
See you next week.
Zero Carbon. East on.